Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see you, and really a great special welcome on this World Week that we're kicking off this Sunday. And if you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand, and some of our stewards just bringing around some Bibles. Thanks, Pete and Nat and others. It's going to help you as we continue to dig into this series on Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, probably the greatest sermon ever preached, and we're looking at going beneath the service to really discover how we can live our lives in a way that's going to make biggest impact. So we're in page 971 in those Bibles you've just been given, Matthew chapter 7, 1 to 6. Let's come and read it together. Jesus says this, "Do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces." So let's pray as we come to God's word together. Lord Jesus, we do want to thank you for your word. We thank you for the freedom to have it in our own language. As we were hearing last week, so many places where people are persecuted for even owning this book. Lord, we do want to pray for that region of North Africa that Lucy was talking about. Lord, we pray for Chris as he travels back to Africa this week to meet with leaders from that whole continent. Lord, I pray that you would be working, particularly in the north. Lord, working to strengthen your people. Lord, we pray for us to be following through on the things that we heard last week, Lord, when it says not to worry and to seek first your kingdom. I pray that we'd be doing that. Lord, I pray for our young people taking exams, starting many of them this week. God, I pray you'd be near them, but be with the parents too, Lord, that they would know how not to worry, but to seek first your kingdom. And Lord, as we come now to this very challenging, Lord, easy to remember, but so often hard to do, passage, help us, Lord, I pray. For I ask in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I call it the boomerang effect. It's beautiful to watch. I'm sure you've seen or maybe even tried messing around with boomerangs and the way they just wonderfully glide and come back to where you are. But I've seen it when people go on a mission trip, maybe even a short-term mission trip. They go to try and bless others and they come back and they're the ones who've been blessed. Time and again, they say, "We went to bless, but actually we received so more than we gave." I know in the past on mission trips that I've been on, that has so often been my experience. Or I think of those times you go to a prayer meeting, like the prayer night we had last Sunday evening for the persecuted church. You know, many, like me, came wanting to stand with our persecuted brothers and sisters, to encourage them through our prayers, to bless them. And yet, as I'm there, and I'm sure many of you felt the same if you were there, yeah, I left feeling inspired and helped and encouraged by them. Hearing stories of their faithfulness and their love for God, it inspired me and encouraged and blessed me. It's the boomerang effect. I think of those times when I've sought to go and forgive someone. Or maybe just even in my own praying, I've forgiven them. And actually, as I've done that, I've had a fresh awareness of God's forgiveness in my life. Or when I've given, and I've had that joy and wonderful, amazing blessing of seeing God not just give me such joy in seeing the impact of that giving, but of actually giving back to me and providing back. And I've seen loads of people have that kind of experience. Who knows something of that boomerang effect in your life, in maybe giving or prayer? Or yeah, look, just tons of people. It's amazing, isn't it? And let's be encouraged as we come into this week to remember that. But what we sometimes don't realize is that it's not just the good stuff that comes back. When is it worth throw out bad stuff, negative stuff, that also boomerangs back. And that is what Jesus is particularly getting at here in Matthew chapter 7. You see, we sometimes don't always give what we want to receive. But Jesus says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. The measure you use is the measure that will be measured unto you. Shakespeare wrote a play based on that little phrase, measure for measure. If you know the play, all about someone who became really angry and wanted to judge and be harsh on someone else, and then later on in the play it turns out they needed to have grace shown to them because they'd done something wrong as well. We need to get these words in our head. Don't judge, or you too will be judged. And I want to ask a couple of questions here. First, judge by who? If we judge others, who's the one who's going to judge us? Well, one of the things in the Sermon on the Mount that we've seen already is very sobering, is that Jesus, as he's been sharing in this passage, he's been talking quite a bit about the judgment of God. He's spoken twice about hell. And we live in a culture where we don't often talk about the judgment of God in our nation. We like to think we're just free to do whatever we like, and if we can get away with it, we can get away with it. But the Bible says that's not the case. God is a just judge. And we shouldn't judge, or we too will be judged. But we're going to go on and see in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, the golden rule, one of those great little phrases of Jesus that's remembered all over the world. And it says, do to others as, and again, do to others as you would have them do to you. You see, what you throw out comes back, even from others. But maybe the most poignant thing for us to remember as we think about it is, don't judge, or you too will be judged. So what does that mean then? Don't judge. That's the second thing I want us just to reflect on briefly as we start off this morning. Don't judge. What does that mean? Clearly, it doesn't mean there should be no law and order, no judges in the land, because it's very plain in Scripture that the authorities are put in place to bring law and order. And it doesn't mean there's no right or wrong. All that Jesus has been saying has been soaked in saying this is right and this is wrong. So what does it mean? Well, Jesus is particularly here addressing that kind of superior attitude that we can get into where actually we end up taking the place of God and looking down and passing judgment on others. I love the writer and commentator Don Carson's reflections on this. He says this. He says, the context must determine the precise shade of meaning here. The context here argues that the verse means don't be judgmental. Do not adopt a critical spirit, a condemning attitude. The same verb is found twice with identical meaning in Romans 14, verse 10. You then, why do you judge your brother, or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It's so easy, though, isn't it, to be judgmental? You know, those people, they're so lazy. That person there, so lazy. Or you know, that person there is so stingy. Or they're so self-righteous. Or maybe we go the other way. Oh, they're so liberal. Or we go, they're so critical. And we're passing judgment, whether on individuals, on something they do, maybe a kind of organization or a ministry or even a church. And Jesus gives us this sober warning. Don't judge or you too will be judged. You know, one of the challenging things is that it's so easy to get critical of those who we feel do this. Who are critical of them, almost like we're here like saying, oh, I hope that person's really going to listen to what David's saying today. That is not the point of this message. It's for you and I to listen to what God is saying today. With the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. The Gospel of Luke takes these words that we've just read and expands them in such a beautiful way. This is what it says in Luke 6, verse 37 to 38. Very similar words. Do not judge or you will not be judged. Do not condemn or you will not be condemned. And then it says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given unto you. A good measure pressed down and overflowing will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. This is, you see, the boomerang effect. What you give, you get. Can you say that with me? What you give, you get. With the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. That is the principle here that Jesus is saying. If you throw out negative stuff, judgment, it will come back. If you throw out blessing and generosity, forgiveness, that will come back. So, Holland Road, it's quite an easy application. Let's be gracious and generous, not judgmental, critical, and stingy. Let's be those who say, right, okay, World Week, World Mission, this is a great opportunity to buck the culture of selfishness in our culture and materialism and say, right, we're going to be a generous people. We're going to seek to live in a way that, recognizes something of, God's generosity to us. I want to just get you to make sure you take these home with you this week and prayerfully consider, God, what would you have me give next week when it's our World Missions Gift Day? Our target's £47,000. And I want to encourage you, let's be generous. Let's think, does generosity characterize our gift? And as we do that, let's just remember how generous God has been to us. That already many of us have experienced that kind of boomerang effect of as we've given, we've known God's help and provision. And that's just one way where God has blessed us and been so generous to us. Let's be generous people, but also let's be gracious. You know, as you pick up this information, as you hear about different things going on this week, as you read some of these fantastic postcards about places where there's no church and the work that we're doing is trying to touch countries, you know, it's so easy, particularly in those kind of frontline places. I think one of these cards here is to do with Somalia. And, over the years, as we've tried to help and inspire and give to and support work in Somalia or in that region in kind of Ethiopia, you know, one of the challenging things is that it's often not neat, not perfect. In fact, I'll let you in on a secret. We have not met any perfect missionaries and ministries in all the work we try and support around the world. Isn't that a surprise? No, it's not. And actually, as you come tonight, and I hope you will come tonight for that encounter time, and you'll think, God, could you use me in mission? Don't rule yourself out because you think, well, I'm not perfect yet. Because God wants to use us in our way of just being available to him, to be used for him. And so what we need as we look at these ministries, and so often they're in these hard places, they need to be creative, they need to be done with business, they need to be done by people kind of traveling in, they need to be done often with things like radio ministries and the areas that are just kind of, you don't quite know exactly the impact it's having. And yet we need to be gracious as we look and support these wonderful ministries. I don't want to encourage you, even before Encounter tonight, there's a chance to come and hear some tea talks, we're calling them, some sort of feedback from some of our different mission partners. Mike Leal's going to be sharing about what they've been doing in supporting things in Latin America to release missionaries in places where there's no church. And Rashid and Karima, who serve in North Africa, some of our global partners are going to be sharing as well. And the work amongst the Dalits that we've supported for many years, we're getting some feedback on that. So let's come and let's be looking out for what God is doing. Let's be those who give generously and live graciously, knowing this kind of boomerang effect. But, you know, Jesus here, he gives us two illustrations. And they're illustrations, if you like, that help us think both about when we give out the negative stuff, just some warnings on that. Just some simple kind of warnings. But also, when we kind of throw out the positive stuff, there's even a need for wisdom there. And there are two very famous illustrations. The first we read in verses 3 to 5. It says this: why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. First thing I want to say as we think about what we give out is, look, watch out for the plank. Watch out for your plank. Watch out for your plank. You know, Jesus has a wonderful sense of humor, I think. You know, he uses here pictures that I'm sure he was so familiar with in all his years as a carpenter. And, you know, I don't know if you've got a speck of sawdust in your eye. It's not that nice. But imagine having a plank in your eye. Imagine that. I mean, you would not want to come near me, would you? Look at that. I mean, it would be lethal. And the honest truth is, if we had a plank in your eye, you just can hardly see anything. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like, come on, we can all see it. And that's what Jesus is kind of getting at. It's kind of ironic, but what we can do is that we tend to enlarge the faults of others to plank-like proportions and reduce our own to a speck. Have you ever noticed that? So we notice one thing in someone's life and we kind of enlarge it and say, oh, you know. But what we do with our own is we kind of excuse it away. Oh, you know, it wasn't that bad. No, it's just a small thing in my life. But Jesus drives this point home using two kind of questions. He first says, look at this. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to your own? His first question challenges where we look. We get so good at looking at others. Jesus says, no, look here. Look at your own life. What about me? I've got a friend who, whenever we think of this passage, he reminds us all. He says, look, you need to be the one saying, I've got the plank. Do you want to do that, me? I find it quite helpful. I've got the plank. Okay? Do you want to just say that? I've got the plank. That's Jesus' point. I've got the plank. And then the second thing he does, his second question is to do with our kind of words and actions. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own? He's saying, look, you're in no fit position to go trying to fiddle around with a speck in your brother's eye when there's a huge, great plank in your own eye. They might come back to you with one of those little phrases we have, like, you're a fine one to talk, or you don't have a leg to stand on. So the application is really very simple. And Jesus spells it out in verse 5 with a rebuke. He says, you hypocrite, look what he says, and it's really obvious. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's. Jesus says this, brothers and sisters, let's examine our own life first. Let's get with God, our holy God, and let's say, God, where is the plank, or maybe even planks in my life? Where are the things that actually you want to deal with in my life? You know, it's great to be someone who's passionate about things being done right and for truth and justice. Great. Just do that first in your own life. Sometimes they're obvious things. You know, the theft, lying, adultery. But Jesus actually has picked up on the subtle but very dangerous hidden dangers. Greed and lust and pride and anger. Maybe it's your attitude to those who are actually in need that God's putting his finger on. Maybe as we come into World Week, he wants to expose and challenge materialism in your life. The God of our age that so easily grips. What's the plank in your life? Now, the first job of a preacher, you know what the first job of the preacher is? Preach to yourself. So I've been doing this week. God, what's the plank in my life? And as I've been pressing into God and saying, God, would you just reveal things that are not right in me? You know, he's revealed more than just one thing. And he's shown me as well that sometimes those things are not just the small things I think they are, but they're bigger problems than I think. The planks. And you know, one time when I was just down on my knees to saying, God, please, would you help me deal with these planks? I wonderfully felt Jesus saying, yeah, David, I'm the great eye doctor. I can take the plank away. And it was like he said, look, I'll carry it away for you. And I suddenly started seeing a connection that I'd never seen before in this passage. That Jesus takes my plank to the cross. That those bits of wood that he carried and was nailed to were a reminder that actually he's the great eye doctor who hasn't got anything in his eyes, and yet he takes my plank and your plank, these massive things, and he dies on that cross for my sin and your sin so that I can be free to see. To see clearly. And in that moment, as I was just again coming and saying, God, would you reveal stuff in my life? As this Holy Spirit did that, the Holy Spirit also is showing me Jesus afresh. This plank bearer of mine. This great eye doctor. This Savior who, though he is the judge, yet first comes to save. To deal with the big things in my life. And guys, they're so often bigger than we realize. And to be willing to be nailed to the cross for my sake. But you know, when he does that, when he lovingly restores us, we have this huge privilege and responsibility to then try and help others. That's what Jesus says in verse 5. He says, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. But now you do it in a whole different way. This is no longer a kind of superior, I've got life all sorted, let me help you with your massive problem because I don't have any. That's not the way you then do that, is it? I love the way Oswald Chambers describes it here. He says this. He says, if I have let God remove the beam from my own outlook by his mighty grace, I will carry with me the implicit sunlight confidence that what God has done for me, he can do for you. Because you have only a splinter. And I had a log of wood. Do you see the difference? And Jesus, later in Matthew, he's going to actually encourage us to do just that. Matthew 18, many of us know it well. Go and speak to the person concerned. If he sins, go and tell him his sin. But do it in this way. In this way that knows that first you've searched your own heart and said, God, would you deal and help me with those areas? Guys, brothers and sisters, let's watch out for the plank in our eyes. It's not great when we're walking around like this. You know, people get hurt. They properly get hurt. So let's examine our lives. Secondly, though, be wise with your pearls. Just want to talk briefly about this. It's only one verse here. It's so kind of vivid. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. You know, dogs and pigs in the Middle East were unclean animals associated with disease and danger. And pearls are super precious. You know, precious things are just that. They're precious. They're not to be thrown away. Not to be wasted. Jesus is here, again, helping us that now as we think about throwing out the good stuff, even that, he's got some wisdom for us. And here's his wisdom. Look, it's great to be careful not to be judgmental, but we also need to be discerning. We need to be discerning. You see, Jesus here says something fairly shocking. Look with me, verse 6. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. The implication is clear. Jesus recognizes that some people, and this is fairly shocking considering what he's just said, are like dogs and pigs. You know, Jesus himself actually came up in front of one of them in his trial. He went before Herod, and Herod had been kind of mocking him, kind of interested in him, wanted to ply him for answers. He asked him loads of questions. Jesus said nothing to Herod. Didn't even say a word. You know, and if we think about it, we think, what is the pearl? Well, it is things like our words. Words of truth, of love, of grace. These things are precious. It's like our time or our treasure or our talent. These things, even the way we spend our money, these are precious things that can have a big impact on people's life. Don't just throw them away. Maybe it's not just the little treasures as well, but your own life. Have you thought about what you're doing with your life? I met a friend I used to work with a few years back, and he'd been to a funeral for another old colleague of ours at an engineering firm. And the colleague had been a really faithful employee. He'd died actually while he was working, and this friend of mine who was colleague of the guy who died, he showed up at the funeral and none of the management were there. And my friend just thought, you know what? This guy's poured out his life for this company and these guys don't even really seem to mind. And he was thinking, I do that. I pour out my life for this kind of job and work, and I don't know if these people really care. And he started asking big questions. Was he wasting his life? And I want to ask you, what are you doing with your one and only life? Are you just chasing a bigger house and doing a job that you really don't feel is kind of something at all that you want to be doing for people who don't even care? When there is people around the world who've never heard about Jesus, never heard of his love and his grace, and yes, it might be massively costly if you went to go and share the gospel with them. But guys, this is your one and only life. And you know, there's something even more precious than your life and my life. And that's the good news of Jesus Christ. He is the pearl above all pearls. He is the one who came and as the judge yet came to save. He is the one who is the great eye doctor who, as it were, went to the cross. He is the one who is the treasure above all treasures. And to speak of him, to live for him, to share him is like pearls. And Jesus himself said we need to be discerning. Look for people of peace. Look for those who are going to actually want this. And if people are rejecting it, move on. Now that's hard sometimes. But that's the discernment that Jesus is calling us to have, that we need to be wise locally and globally about where we invest, where we're going and sharing these precious, precious treasure that is the good news of Jesus Christ. To be looking and thinking, where is it needed? Where do we see God at work and then joining him in it? One of the amazing things at the moment is we are seeing, and we were hearing this a bit from Andy at the prayer night, we're seeing God at work in that North African region. There are people having visions and dreams, and even though the church is persecuted, yet there's a hunger and appetite. And And one of the things I've been praying, I've been saying, God, would you keep helping us have a church, have an impact in these places? Lord, not just maybe raising up one or a couple of people or even a family, but may you, God, you help us be able to send a team in the future back to North Africa to reach some of these places where there's no church. Hey, could you be part of that team in the future? A team that's going and helping bring the good news of Jesus. What are you doing with your life? And if it's not there, then even here. In your workplace. Don't just do it to get the money or the kind of way up. Are you seeing it as a mission field? Because I bet there's not many Christians in your workplace or your college or your school. And you're saying, God, would you give me discernment? Where can I invest for your kingdom? So brothers and sisters, let's be wise with our pearls. Pearls are precious. And remember the boomerang. You know, what we give comes back. Let's make sure we're throwing out, we're blessing, we're being generous, we're being gracious. Let's remember the plank, you know, examine our lives. But let's above all come to Jesus. The one who inspires us and guides us, but also the one who is the plank remover, the one who enables us to deal with our planks so that we actually have pearls to give. That we can actually live lives that don't end up hurting people, but blessing people. And so I want us to just do two things as we come to respond. And maybe the band could just come up. I want us as we come to Jesus to just examine your life. What's your plank? And you maybe think, well, how do I deal with this plank in my life? I've maybe tried before, but Jesus is the answer. Let him help you with your plank. Let him remind you of the cross. Come to him and say, God, I'm sorry. Would you take my plank away? Would you help me repent and believe? But then also examine your investments. What are you doing with your time and your treasure and your life? And would you let him guide you so that you would know how to pour out your life in those wise places where it's going to have an impact? So Holy Spirit, would you just come now? As we come to Jesus, help us examine our lives, I pray. Help us. Help us deal with those planks. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.